Parshas Nasa. We'll work backwards and find a way in the beginning of the parasha. At the end of the parasha, the Torah tells us about the Chanukas HaNasiim. Each Nasi brought his carbon. And as you know, as you sat through Kriyas HaTorah yesterday, it was very repetitive. The Torah could have just said very quickly, and number two brought the same as number one, and number three as number two, and we could have saved quite some time in shul yesterday. In my neighborhood, we had a shul that had an ofruf and a bar mitzvah. They told me they took 13 aliyahs. 13 aliyahs to get through the ofruf and the bar mitzvah. Sounds like a baseball game with pitches and innings. It took them, you know, and they survived, and they finished at 12 o'clock. Okay? We had an ofruf in our shul that only took us to 11:35, but we only made one haysaf. But in any case, why the arichos and the Torah, if it could have just said the same as the other person? So the answer is given, is that two people can do the exact same activity, but the difference is the heart, the intent, the feeling that's given in. Each Nasi did the exact same thing, and the reason why each Nasi did the exact same thing is a very important lesson for us, is because the second Nasi made a conscious decision that he's going to set the tone for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Instead of us spending our entire life trying to outdo the other, which we do anyways, the second Nasi, who was from the tribe of Yisachar, and the Medrash says Yisachar represents Torah, so he made a Torah decision. This is going to be a very bad precedent to have a situation where everyone's trying to outdo the other, even though it's for spirituality. Even though this was technically a praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this wasn't for their own benefit. But nonetheless, even in the spirituality world, when you're trying to outdo the other, when it costs money and financial restraints, it's a very slippery road. And therefore, each Nasi brought the exact same carbon, but there was an intent involved. Each Nasi thought his own thing, felt his own thing, had his own connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is very unique. The carbon that the Nasiim brought were made up of flour mixed with oil. And the Medrash comments on this pasuk that Soiles represents Torah. And just like flour alone is useless, you cannot bake anything with just flour. You need to have oil and water and eggs. Says the Medrash, so too, Soiles Torah alone without Midas is nothing. The flour and the oil is Midas, Hanhagas Tovus, how a person interacts with other people. Soiles alone, just having the Torah, is nothing. If you want to bake a cake and all you have is flour, you're not going to be able to bake a cake. It says the Medrash, you have to have both. Perhaps that's why we read this parasha right after Shavuos. After Shavuos, we're very, very excited about Torah. And we often forget that Torah is not only the only thing we need to do in life. We also have to make sure we're living a lifestyle that represents and reflects the Torah. Ben Adam L'chaveira, we have to make sure we're what we call a Ben Torah. We're acting properly, we're interacting properly, and we're conducting ourselves in a person who represents the Torah. But Pam says a story about a girl who went on a date with obviously a reputable yeshiva bacher. And she comes back from the date and she tells her father, I have no idea if he's a lamdan or not, but I know for sure he's not a ben tayr. That was what she said about the date. You know, and a hugger. He might be a big lamdan, he might know how to learn, but he's not a mensch. He doesn't know how to act. So the Medrash is saying, if you learn Torah and you don't know how to act, that's like having flour without having any oil and eggs. It's not going to get you too far. You need to have a combination of both the Torah and a Hugga's Torah, then you become a full package. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky makes a very interesting observation. He says, if you look at the parsha of Nazir, the Torah says the Nazir is not allowed to become Tamei. Who are the people he's not allowed to come Tamei to? So it says his parents, his brothers, and his sister. Asks Rabbi Yaakov, what happened to his children? Doesn't say anywhere he's not allowed to become Tamei to his children. By the Kayin, by the Kuhuna, by Kayin Godel, it says, mom, dad, parents, children, the whole story. Yet when the Nazir look up in the Pasuk, he doesn't say anything about his kids. So Rabbi Yaakov makes the following observation. It says Rabbi Yaakov, your average Nazir would become a Nazir when he's still single. Why? Says Rabbi Yaakov, it's very hard to change once you get settled into a routine. You get married, you have a family, settle down with kids. All of a sudden you're going to change the whole family. Okay guys, that's it. No more wine, no more grape juice, and all that. It's very, very, very hard to do. The strongest chance we have is changing is when we're younger. Because once we get set in our ways and we get set in our style of life, it's very hard to change everything. You know, once we get, you know, you're so used to things, all of a sudden you tell the kids, well, sorry, you know, last year we used to eat this, no more. Now we're taking on this chumrah and that chumrah. So it's an interesting idea. It doesn't mean we should give up either. It doesn't mean, oh, listen, I'm already past that, I already have kids, I'm exempt. But it just means the battle is harder. It's a harder battle when you have to fight against being used to things, as opposed to when it's fresh and you're not yet accustomed to certain things, you don't have a state of mind. And I'm still back and forth. If before I got married, should I have started being more makben achadosh? We had to share about it here once, you know, about chadosh and things like that in chutz laretz. You know, now it's already too late. The kids have got used to eating this pasta and that cookies. And they're already used to it. I'm blaming them. It's really me, but okay. You know, I got used to eating these things. But you know, it's a lot easier to make changes when you're younger. That's why there are people who spend a lot of money specifically on kiruv only for college. College campus is a very big industry today in the Kiev world because they feel that the college kids are at least obtainable. They'll change. They're open to growth. You're going to take someone who's 35, 40 years old. He's in a routine. He's got a family. He's got a kids. He has a job. It's much harder to change life. As Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points to this ha'ara from this week's parasha, from the fact that the Torah omits the Nazir's children, because most Nazirim usually didn't have children. It's much harder to become a Nazir once one already has children. Then we get to the parasha of Saita. By the parasha of Saita, so Rashi comments that anyone that saw the Saita b'kulkula, anyone who saw the Saita implode, would yazer atzmim in a yayin. He would automatically distance himself from one. So the Mefarshim have a question. If you saw a Nazir implode, you don't need to go then and become a Saita. I'm sorry. If you saw a Saita, you don't need to then go and put on a ban upon yourself. It will be a self-imposed restriction of one. You don't have to go out of your way and copy this rule of the Torah of Nazir. So I said this over on Shabbos, and a lot of people disagreed with my kasha. They thought, no. They thought if you have a system in place, it's a lot easier. Like, you decide you want to go on a diet, but you have no way of navigating it. So it doesn't go too far. The beauty of what the Torah did by the parasha of Nazir is the Torah gave you a system. This is how you stay clear. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. It keeps you on a clear, straight path. That's what people wanted to suggest. So I wanted to suggest a different idea. I think the pshat is, I mentioned this in the Chumash, but we'll try to bring it out a little bit more. The idea of the Nazir is that he was very inspired. He watches this site explode. He says to himself, wow, the impacts of alcohol and illicit relationships are very scary. I want to stay far away from it. And like everything in life, we get a Cyrus, we see a Cyrus, and then eventually it starts to fall away. No, you go to a speech, you hear a fiery drasha, you read a sefer, yeah, you're inspired, you're motivated. Like 5 minutes later, it's back to normal. So this fellow said to himself, I don't want the inspiration to fall. I want to do something. So he decided to go out and do something. I'm going to become a Nazir. That takes effort. Because to take the inspiration and allow it to sit in, you have to do something with it. You can't just be inspired for the sake of inspiration. You have to go and act upon it. So this fellow goes and acts upon his inspiration. He makes himself into a Nazir. If we have inspiration that flees, it doesn't become part of us. It will not have any long-lasting impact. That's the Nesiv HaShalom, the Slan Merebbe's Vard in the beginning of Parshas Yisrei. It says, Vayishma Yisrei. Yisrei heard and he became Jewish. So Rashi asks, Mashmu Hashem Uba. What did Yisrei hear? So Rashi quotes Tubshat. Either he heard Kriyas Yamsuf or Melchem. Says the Slan Merebbe, no, the two pshatim go together. Yisrei said to himself, we also Kriyas Yamsuf. We were mesmerized and we were amazed. And after all that, Amalek came and attacked. What does that teach me, says Yisrei? That you could be inspired, but it's not going to have a lasting impact unless you do something. So I'm going to do something. I'm going to get off of my chair in Midian, and I'm going to go and join the Jewish people. Inspiration needs to be put to something. Often people are inspired, and they see things, they hear things, but it falls away. No, we have there's a big phrase now. You see something, you say something. I would like to change. If you see something, do something. If you're inspired and you see something and you're mesmerized and you feel a change, don't just say, oh, it's really nice. It's a nice idea. Do something about it. Get off of your chair and do something. Take that mikayach el apoyel. Take that nice idea. Right? Very often in life, especially in a shul or organization, people have great ideas. And they keep it to themselves. It's a nice idea. Bounce it off with someone else. If you have a great idea, go do something. Go work that idea and make it work. Take that idea, mikoyach el apoyel, instead of just leaving it in the theoretical place. But the Avnei Nezer adds one idea to the Nazir. It says in the Pasuk, ki hifli. What does the word hifli mean? So the Rishayim learn hifli means it's a pella. It's an amazement. This whole Nazir is an amazement. To go against the tide is amazement. It says that the Avnei Nezer, the word hifla comes from the word bekisoy, covered. He learns that one of the godless of the Nazir was he was very under the radar. No front page type of style. The Nazir's greatness was the fact that he was so mechuse. He was so covered. And he explains that the Nazir says, because when a person drinks wine, he starts talking. The guy, he stays away from the wine. He's much more of a shtash, still person. Says that the Nazir, the godless of a Nazir, is a person can do great things for his community, but it doesn't have to go... So it's funny. Someone was just telling me yesterday that there was a Nazir who used to live in Eretz Yisrael. His name was David Cohen, HaNazir. So I asked him, did you go see him? He told me, I wanted to go see him. I said, how did he look? He said, it wasn't so recognizable. He told me he couldn't even tell that he was a Nazir with the long hair. He said, men's hairs grow different than women's hair. I was surprised. So I guess that's not always a giveaway. I guess, yeah, if at the kiddush he's not drinking wine, you know he's a Nazir. But the Nazir suggests that the godless of accomplishing, and I think these two things go together. I think this is what we call the modern day Nazir. The modern day Nazir is a person who does what he feels is necessary for the time. He steps up to the plate. And he does it in a way that's quiet. He doesn't make it from paper. He doesn't make it even into the summer programming for the Zman and for the Shurim. Shashtil. Not everything, we have to get it in, yeah? Not everything has to be front page, you know. Sometimes we can do things, shashtil. Don't have to know about everything. That's the godless of the Nazir. That's what the godless of the Nazir for the modern day Nazir is, that not everything we do in life always has to be publicized. That book, some people feel they always have to be publicized. Okay. So other people feel like not everything has to make it to the front pages. Okay. Let's get back over here to the Gemara. Shabbos, Taf Kuf Lamed Beis Amar Al. Zok the Gemara. We're trying to figure out, how do we know that Mila is Deiche Shabbos? We have a Machlokes Tanakam and Rebbe Eliezer to whether or not the Machshirei Mila Deiche Shabbos, that's the prep to get to the Mila, that's a Machlokes Tanakam and Rebbe Eliezer, and we paskin like the Tanakamo, Machshirei Mila is not Deiche Shabbos. Then there's another shaila in the Gemara. How do you know that the Mila itself is Deiche Shabbos? So we spent, it's been already a bunch of weeks ago, we spoke about why would Mila be Aser on Shabbos, what Melacha would be violating if someone does Mila on Shabbos. So there's different, we came out, there's about five different possibilities amongst the Rishayim and the Achrayim, what Melacha would one violate if he does a Mila. But we know Mila would be Aser on Shabbos, it's only Mutter for some Gzeres HaKasim. The discussion, the Gemara now is, what is that Gzeres HaKasim? So let's start from the Gemara. Number one, this is the Gemara of Kuf Lamed Beis Amar Alef, Yechinon Amar. If Yochanan says, I'll show you, how do you know that Mila Zeicha Shabbos, Amakra, it says in the Torah, Bayoim. It says in the Torah, Bayoim Hashmini Yim Obasara Lassai, on the 8th day, he's supposed to give your baby a bris. Zok the Gemara, Bayoim, Afilu B'Shabbos. From the word Bayoim, I can include even Shabbos. How?
What would it have said otherwise?
Right, what would it have said, and how can you do that? So Rashi, on number 2, all the way on the left, comments, Zok Rashi, Midaloik Siv Bishmini Yimol. What could have the Torah written, Zak Rashi? It could have wrote, Bishmini Yimol, on the 8th, give your kid a bris. Now, we'll see in a second, the Gemara is going to ask, don't we need B'yom for something else?
You know, B'yom? Day, month, year.
What do you mean, year of what?
You know, it's day, month.
That's the Gemara's next question. How do you know it's day? Maybe it said, if we just say, Bishmini Yimol, it could even be nighttime. We know bris don't happen at night, because it says the word B'yom. But you're telling me now, B'yom is extra. What do you mean, B'yom is extra? I need B'yom to tell me, you can't tell me the B'layla.
So,
what do you mean?
Bishmini
Yimol can mean the 8th month. And if it says B'yoyim HaShmini, that's the 8th day of what? Of his birth. B'yoyim HaShmini, okay, so it's interesting. All it says in Torah is B'yoyim HaShmini Yimol B'sar Losa. The 8th day. The 8th day of what? So we always assume it's the 8th day of his birth. So you're suggesting, how do we know that even? So your kash is strong even without the word B'yoyim. You're saying, how do you know 8th day means the 8th day of his birth? Maybe 8th day of his birth. Maybe 8th day is something else. To tell me that's
the day, not the month. Yeah, the Gemara doesn't
have to. Right, the Gemara doesn't add, right. The Gemara assumes that from the flow of the Psukim, right? How's it say it in the parasha? Isha Ki says, the Torah says she has a baby, and then it says, I guess somehow from the simple continuation of the Psukim in Tazria, we understood that 8th day means of its birth.
Because the Torah, you don't teach it even Shabbos. 8 would teach you even on Shabbos. That's the 8th day, no matter what.
So that's what we have to talk about. So Pashup Shan and Rashi, it sounds like it's a Riboy. It's a Riboy. Riboy has a power to be married things. Not that the word B'yoy means even, just the word Yoy is a Riboy. It's an extra word. So I'm going to use that extra word to be marba, even Shabbos. We'll have to see.
We don't take the rule of an esrog on the first day.
That's the rabban Shabbos.
That's like a kasha, right? We shouldn't have this kasha.
No, but the rice you would.
Oh, I thought the question was, B'yom Rishon over there, why is it called the first day? The first day of what? I thought the kasha you were asking is, B'yom Rishon, the first day of what? It's not the first day of anything. So the Rishayim had this kash. The Torah brings down a medrash that it means the first day of Sukkot because it's the first day of Sichas v'Kaparis. So you're suggesting that why doesn't B'yom Rishon tell me even? Takam Midrash, you would take the lulav on Shabbos. It's only Gzeira D'Rabba that we don't take the lulav. And Echrabi, we would have taken the lulav on Shabbos.
Why is the
So we spoke about that a while ago. Tysus has his kasha.
Yeah, but I remember we spoke about it. I don't remember what
we definitely spoke about it. Right? So we actually touched upon this 2 weeks ago when we talked about Megillus by Rus. We mentioned this kasha from the Vilna Gaon. That if why is there no Gzeira D'Rabba that you're going to carry the Megillus on the Dalad, whatever, on the 4 weeks, the 4 times we read it? So the Vilna Gaon answered, because it's a Chayvat Tzibur. And anything that's a Chayvat Tzibur, there's no Gzeira D'Rabba. So we said that's the Taisus Yom Tov's answer. Why are you allowed to read the Torah on Shabbos? Why is there no Gzeira D'Rabba on Kriyas HaTorah? The answer is Chayvat Tzibur. So we answered, we said, if that's so, Mila is a Chayvat Yachid. So if Mila is a Chayvat Yachid, even more so the Kasha Shver. Why is there no Gzeira D'Rabba by Mila? So Taisus asks this in Megillah. The Rishayim asks this all in Megillah when the Gemara brings about Gzeira D'Rabba.
What is it?
So we answered, one shot we answered was that there's talk a lot of people there. That since there are other people there, they're going to be masking each other. And Gemara has this rule that whenever there's a large group of people, someone's going to remember what the halacha is. Shaifer, again, could be done an individual. You know, Mila used to always be... Shaifer, what?
Shaifer?
No, Shaifer doesn't have to be. You could be... You don't need it.
Shabbos was a bris.
Right, so we had right. That was Yerushalmi.
So this is the same kind of bris. Right.
As Yerushalmi we mentioned, right, that Shabbos is a bris, and that's why you're supposed to be mechallel the Shabbos. Right. That's one of the answers, that the Bucky himself is here. He's the guy doing the mila. You don't want to have someone who's not a Bucky doing your mila. So that's what we spoke about in the past. Okay. So Rashi over here has an interesting cheshbon we got to keep in mind over here. Again, we had a machloikis Tanakam and Reb Eliezer about his machshire mila deicha Shabbos. Reb Eliezer learned machshire mila deicha Shabbos from the word biyayim. So now we got a kasha. If Reb Eliezer learned that machshir mila is deicha Shabbos from biyoyim, how does he know mila atzmoi? Zagrashi Reb Eliezer to afke the machshir mila and machshir mila. Reb Eliezer who learns this pasuk from machshirin mila atzma halachahi. He must have to say that the mila itself is halacha mishum sinai because he has no extra pasuk. Says Rashi, one second. If you remember, we spoke about in the Gemara that if it's halacha meshem sinai, you can't learn a kavachemer from halacha meshem sinai. And one of the shitas in the Gemara in Yuma was, how do you know you let her be mechal the Shabbos of Kwech Nefesh? Kavachemer from Mila. But if Mila is halacha meshem sinai, we have a rule you're not allowed to learn anything from halacha meshem sinai. Says Rashi, ain't a chanami. You're right. He's going to have to learn that Kwech Nefesh from another place. That's Rashi's chashmi. So, frek the maram, if you had to pick shitas over here, if you had to pick, I have a halacha meshem sinai and I have a gzeres hakasav. What would you line up with which? Just from a practical standpoint. According to Eliezer, it comes out something very interesting. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai teaches me milas deicha Shabbos. Gzeres HaKosef teaches me machshiri mila deicha Shabbos. Asks the Maram, he says, the Velt asks this kash. Wouldn't you have switched the two? What's the bigger, you know, the abnormal thing? The abnormal thing is machshiri mila deicha Shabbos. So if you had to take the abnormal thing, so where would you attribute the abnormal chiddush to? That's halacha moshe m'sinai. What's the more accepted halacha? Is that milas deicha Shabbos? No one disagrees milas deicha Shabbos. It's just a question of where. So if you had to find the source, where would your source be? A pasuk. Why did he go halacha moshe m'sinai for the machshirin and the pasuk? I'm sorry. Why did he go the pasuk for the machshirin and halacha moshe m'sinai for the mila? That's the Maram's kasha. So Maram asks over number three. Makshin ha'olam. The Velt asks this kasha. Based on logic, I would have thought the other way around. I would have used the pasuk for mila itself, and I would have learned that machshirin from the halacha moshe m'sinai. Why does Rebbe Eliezer do the reverse? So Maram gives a very simple answer. He says, you can't have a machloikis in a halacha moshe m'sinai. Again, Rebbe Eliezer says, I can do X because of halacha moshe m'sinai, and the Rambam says, no, you can't. Did Moshe say it or Moshe didn't say it? How exactly do we have a right to have such a dispute? So if it says to Maram, you're going to
learn out of a pasuk, you could.
Things in the psukim we can fight about. That's what the whole Tarshav Alpe is. But halacha Moshe M'sinai, again, this is an important rule to remember. I don't know how many times it comes up in Shas, but if the Maram is telling us it's very hard to have halach, a machloikis tanoim or amaroim in a halacha Moshe M'sinai. I guess they could have argued
whether
it happened. Right. Whether Moshe really passes down to us or not.
No, that's one of the Rambam's rules.
We assume that that's not up for the debate. That's a fact. That's the Maram's point. Maram is saying, no, you can't debate that. So if you would learn it the other way, that's what would come out. It would come out that Machloikis Reb Eliezer and the Rabbanan is in the Halacha Moshe M'sinai. Therefore says the Maram, no, let's switch it. Let's make it that everyone agrees Milas Deicha Shabbos. The question now is where you learn it from. Okay, you could have a dispute about. But the Halacha can't be disputed. So learns the Maram, Pshan and Rashi, to why Rashi concludes that Mila comes out a funny thing. Mila is learned that from Halacha Moshe M'sinai, because that everyone agrees on. And the machshirin is up to subjected to a machloikis.
Well, maybe according to Rabbi Lezer, it's not machshirin mitzvah is not unique to the bashar is not unique to you. You learned in other mitzvahs as well.
He does. Each one has a special pasuk. Right. Each one has a special pasuk.
So the basic din of doing bris on Shabbos is halacha moshe sinai. Now he has to find because of all
the pirchas.
He has to come up with a reason to allow the machshirin. Because he can't learn one mitzvah from the other.
Right, and therefore he still needs gzeiras hakasav to permit machshirin mila. So he's going to get that from where? From the pasuk or from halacha moshe m'sinai?
No, he can't get it from halacha moshe m'sinai because every mitzvah is different.
No, he can't get it from halacha moshe m'sinai because we have the Maram's problem because then we're going to be arguing. No, the kasha that I think someone mentioned before is what happened to saying, well, if I know machshirin mila deicha Shabbos, isn't mila koshkin deicha Shabbos? So that Echronim have this kasha. Why don't you say it like that? If Rabbi Eliezer already knows from the get-go that machshirin mila deicha Shabbos, so ben benoish shel kavachomer. Right. So the question is, well, if there's a mefurish pasuk that doesn't discuss, I mean, let's go the other way. Let's say I have a halacha moshe m'sinai that machshir in mila deicha Shabbos. So then it's pasha that the mila is deicha Shabbos. That would be pasha. But now it goes the other way around. Now I have a gzeres hakasav that the mila is deicha Shabbos. And then the other way around. If I would have a halacha moshe m'sinai that machshir in mila deicha Shabbos, there'd be no need for a pasuk. I need a pasuk.
You would need the yom to tell you during the day only, not at night.
We're going to see. Right.
Not
for the milah itself. But that's the cheshbon that Rashi makes. That comes out according to Abelias. Okay. So let's get back into the Gemara for a second. We're going to try to learn some Gemara today. After Shavuos, it's because I had to learn some Gemara. Okay. We don't always get to learn some Gemara. So like the Gemara, El Me'ata. So Gemara is a kasha. B'yoyim afilu b'shabbos. So how do you know Milah is deicha Shabbos? Because it says the word b'yoyim is extra. It could have written b'shmini yimol. It's a riboy. Riboy tells me you're allowed to be mechal b'shabbos. Amalei Rishlokesh b'yoyichan. So Rishlokesh asks a kasha to b'yoyichan. They were family. They were brother-in-laws. So they were allowed to ask kashas on each other. So like Gemara, El Me'ato, Michsuri Kapara. There are a bunch of people that are what's called Michsuri Kapara, which means they're waiting for their korban to become tar. You have a Zav, a Zava, Yeledes, a Mitzayir, a bunch of people that are waiting for the bringing of the korban to become tar. So it says over there, Dichsiv Buhu B'yoyim. By all those korbanos, it says the word B'yoyim. So Hachanami Didach HaShabbos. You're going to tell me that a Michsuri Kapara, let's say his final day of Tumah is the eighth day, but he doesn't leave the Tumah until he brings the carbon. But it happens to be Shabbos. And we know no public, no private carbonas are brought on Shabbos. Only public carbon, Tabin and carbon Musaf. So you can tell me, they should violate the Shabbos. You have the word B'yom. The word B'yom is a riboy. It should be Marbi, even Shabbos.
No, but it's only B'yom Hashmini. In other words,
why?
You know, it's not so much shot in the Yom Dikadin, it's the Shmini. You know, it's, if you already said it's on this eighth day, so what do you need the Yom? Every time you have Yom in the Torah, you're going to make a drasha according to this?
Yeah, that's what the Gemara is going to assume. We'll see in a second. The Gemara is going to run with this, that the word B'yom is extra. We always need B'yom V'loy B'layla. We'll see that in a second. Possibly, which we're going to see in a second as well. So the Gemara says, what do you do over there? So the Gemara says, no, homie boyle B'yom V'loy B'layla. That's not an extra pasuk. That word's not open for freedom. That word's used. B'yoyim v'loy b'layli. Now that I've been kabbanis at night. Frankly, Gemara, hainami b'boyle b'yoyim v'loy b'layla. What about an our Gemara? Don't we need u'b'yoyim hashmini to teach me you can't do mila at night? Not that I know of. That I'm not sure why. You know.
And ba, it sounds more like
connected, the specific day.
As opposed to b'yom, day versus night.
Well, how do we have hashmini? U'b'yoyim hashmini yimol. That's u'b'yoyim. Has it written by the Kabbalists? No, I forgot. I have to look it up. Again, the point of the Gemara is not. It's the Gemara is assuming the extra. It's an extra word. The whole word is extra. It's not necessarily the diktuk on the word. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Don't I need the pasuk to tell me I can't do a milah b'night, which is what I want to eventually get to today, is the halachic status and the lumness of doing a milah b'layla, which we talked a little bit about when we started this perek. Says the Gemara, no. I learned that from another pasuk. Ahumi ben shmeinas yomim nafka. I learned that from the pasuk mi ben shmeinas yomim nafka. From mi ben shmeinas yomim. Take note, where is this pasuk mi ben shmeinas yomim found? At Parshas Noach. When's Parshas Noach? That's before Kabbalah Satorah. That's before we have the mitzvah of Mila. That's going to have a major impact going forward. That pasuk mi ben shmeinas yomim nafka was talking about by Avraham Avinu. Sorry. By Avraham Lech Lecha, by Avraham Avinu. It's before Kabbalah Satorah, before Sinai, which is going to be important as well. So, Frank, tomorrow, this time is anyone else bothered by the kasha? Where do you see from the word mibench minus yom? So it says mibench minus yom from the eighth day. So you know you can't do a mila before the eighth day. But where do you see anything about you can't do a mila at night? Doesn't say a word about night. So mibench minus yomim. When the boy is 8 days old, where do you see anything about night? Yeah, that's what we're going to get to today. Yeah, we're going to talk about that today. But I'm just pointing out, the Gemara is saying right now that the Makar that a Mila can't be done at night is not what everyone else thinks. If you poll 100 people and ask them, how do you know Mila is possible? It's because it says, U'b'yoyim hashmini. It's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says it's because it says, B'ben Shmoinis Yomim. It says the word, B'ben Shmoinis Yomim, which again was written before Kabbalah Satayra. And it says the words, B'ben Shmoinis Yomim, when the son is 8 years old. That's how we learn you can't do a Mila B'layla, which is a Tzarechi and Gadol. Where do you see from the Pasuk? We'll come back to it. Then the Gemara continues.
Is it from Yomim because it's full days?
Good, very good. That's the Torah Tmimus Cheshbon. Chaim Kanevsky says
Yom Shabbos. When we say Yom Shabbos, it's still, that starts Friday night.
So very good.
Yom HaShmini Shabbos.
Oh, wow. Very good. Wow. I'm Mechavit to both. I found this both in the Torah Tmimus and Chaim Kanevsky say for Anchumish, Tarma de Krop. We'll see it on the page. It's funny. When I first read this Gemara, I was totally at a loss. I couldn't think which way to get it from this Pasuk. Then I saw these two Pshatim, which we'll see in a second, is on the paper here as well. Then the Gemara says, 1 second. But you have the same pasuk by Karbonis. By Karbonis, it also writes, Hanami mi b'yoyim tzavosa nafka. It says by Karbonis, you're supposed to bring them the day. So why do I need an extra pasuk to teach me that Mechsuri Kapara can't bring their Karbonis at night from the word b'yoyim? We already learned that day is the only time for Karbonis. So the Gemara comes up with an interesting chiddush. It's trucha. No, it's a chiddush. The Torah actually feels very bad for these people. Lasui bidalos. The Torah gives them leniencies. What's one of the leniencies? If they can't afford the animal, they can bring birds. It means that if the person's poor, the Torah, this is the whole beginning of Sefer Vayikra. For all those people who can't afford to bring a cow, so the Torah goes easy and they say, fine, bring a bird. Lots cheaper, more efficient. You can bring a bird. So says the Gemara, one second, the Torah is so nice on you, it lets you bring a bird instead of a cow. Maybe the Torah will be nice on you and let you bring it even at night. You see, the Torah really wants you to get back into society, so maybe the Torah will bend the rules in another area. Not only will it bend the rules with regard to what you bring, will bend the rules on when you bring. So maybe you could actually bring the carbon at night. No, that's why I need to exercise a cost to tell me, no, that much we're not willing to bend. We're willing to bend in what you bring, we're not willing to bend when you bring. There's no permission to bring the carbon by night.
So all the other Yoruds you can bring at night, according to this?
Because of no exercise of custom. So the Mefarshim asked this kasha. They asked a certain kabbonis, let's say, for example, what are some of the examples where you were...
Shuas,
you have a bunch of other ones. Tumas Mektash of Vidashov, right? That's one of the kashas that Achrenim asked. Lefida, where there's no biyoim, you should be able to bring it at night. They asked this as a kasha. It's a good kasha. I don't want to get too kachmi, but the Taka asked that as a kasha. Based on this Gemara, it should come out that should be okay. But now the Gemara goes one step further.
I'm not doing it live, it's not because of the Chumrah. Laila is not the man for a carbon.
Right, but the question is, right, but if we're going to allow you to bend the rules with regard to what you bring, so maybe perhaps we'd allow you to be more lenient and when to bring it.
That's like saying,
Look at the next Gemara's kasha. Mask of La Ravina, Yezar Kasha Behen. Frank Gemara, one second, we're bending rules, so you're going to bend the rules on what you bring and when you bring. Let's bend the rules on who the one has to officiate. It should come out that a Zar should be kasha to bring these. Via Oinin Kasha Behen. You should break all the rules. Let anyone bring the carbon. This guy, we're trying to get him back into society. He was tameh, he was out of society. Let's bring him back. Let's let everything go. He'll bring what he wants, when he wants. He'll bring it himself, even though the Torah says he can't. I'm just open the floodgates for whatever you want.
Yeah, that's not it.
It's an unbelievable havamina. What's even more shver about this havamina, as we'll see in a second, we showed him all asked, in each one of the mechsuri kapara, the Torah writes explicitly, kayin, kayin, kayin. What type of havamina is this? You tell me that you think because we feel bad for the guy, and we're going to go against what the Torah says? The Torah says kayin. It says explicitly in each one of these parashiyas, the Torah writes mefurish. It's got to be a kayin, and a kayin. We'll see in a second. So what's the Gemara answer to this kasha? Says the Gemara, no. Hahadre kra. We already learned from the pasuk that that doesn't fly. Once we learned you can't bring it at night, that's megale, that we don't bend the rules. So if we don't bend the rules for night, we don't bend the rules. So who can bring it? That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. There's another mahalach of the Gemara from Rabbeinu Chananel. Maybe we'll talk about it at a different time. But Rashi learns the Gemara's answer is no. Once I learned that you can't bring the carbon at night, so what is the Torah telling me? We don't bend the rules for Mechsurei Kapar. So if we don't bend the rules for the timing, we don't bend the rules for who can bring. But if you look at number four, the Ritva, he has a kasha. This is all the Rishayim have this kasha. Taisus asks the one timer. How can you think for a second that we feel bad for the Mechsurei Kapara and we want them to get tar as soon as possible and all they need is a carbon, so we'll let anyone bring their carbon? Even a czar and an oinin. We know an oinin is not allowed to bring karbanis. He's not allowed to work in the Beis HaMikdash. The oinin is not allowed to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. We borrow the term oinin. The word oinin, in Yeridea, there's a parasha called aninus, based on the Gemara Moed Katan. That term oinin is really borrowed from the Torah. The Torah's term oinin is a person who that day lost a family member. That's the oinin of the Torah Til Kvura. That oinin doesn't have the same rules that we have for an oinin about what he's allowed to eat and drink and do mitzvahs and stuff like that. That's really, it's really called meisei mutal lefanav. What we call an oinin is not the oinin of the Torah. It's really called meisei mutal lefanav. An oinin is really the first day. First day of the person's death. I think Rabbi Salvechik used to make this distinction. People don't realize it too. Meisei mutal lefanav and oinin are not the two. We use them together. They're not really the same terms. Oinin is what the Torah discusses. You're not allowed to eat chumas and maisis by oinin. What we call an oinin in Hilchas Aveilus and Ma'id Katan is really called a Mesa Mutal Fanav. That's the third parak in Brachas, while Aninus is really a different topic. But over here, an oinin of the Gemara means a guy who lost that day, he lost a relative. So the first day of the burial, he's called an oinin. The Gemara has a machoikis. Is he an oinin the first day and the first night? Or is he an oinin just the first day? Let's say a person lost a relative at 2 o'clock Sunday, and then already they bury the person. So what's tonight? Is he an oinin tonight or not? So that's machlokes in the Gemara. Does the aninus go on for the full day or not? So, in fact, to be shinim, how could there be a havmi that a zor or an oinin can do the avodah? It says in the Torah, kain. Yeshloimer the zor kidei nisba aidi the oinin. So the first Torah said, "Ritva, you're right." The Gemara never really thought a zor can do it. The Gemara's kasha is really from an oinin. Zohar was just, you know, we threw it in, you know. Sometimes when you're in an argument and you throw things in that are not exactly perfect fit for the argument. So here also, Zohar wasn't really such a kash. But Oinin was a good kash. We should allow an Oinin to do the hakrav.
Why did
we
want to include
Ara? Just go throw everyone in. Put the whole, all the chesronis together. Yeah, put everyone in. Yeah, I don't know. So we'll see some of his answers won't help for all those. So he writes, Oidi Yishlema, the haide kama ye zohar kasha behen, hecha deleka koyin kama. The Gemara doesn't mean that you throw out the kayin. It just means if there's no other kayin, so it's either this or nothing. So when the Torah says kayin, it means if their kayin is available. But maybe when the Torah says kayin, that's only when the kayin is here. But if there's no kayin and this is going to set the fellow back, maybe then you don't do that. That's one teretz.
How can that, if it's by kashrut, Torah repeats itself, it's kuva. So if it keeps repeating kayin, it's
yeah, that's, this is why it's a shvar havamin. It's a difficult havamin. I think everyone's really working backwards. They're really trying to be miyasha the sahar kash. No, it doesn't mean that the zor can do the akrava. Ela inyan achila, shakoyhanim makrivim v'habaylim oichlim. Dechsev echlu atem ashekupa behem. V'hanu dekam yezor kosh ben kedei lamar achilas v'ischaper. To get the eating done fast. Okay. V'hanochim b'zeh. Says the Ritzvah, the Pshara like the most, Kiboy Shapir Shri, to the Koyin b'oyche in Bigde Kahuna. We're talking about a Koyin who's not dressed in his Bigde Kahuna. Nikra Zor. He's called a Zor. Clothing make the man, literally. So therefore, since the Avad, you need a kohen. But the Havamin will be if the kohen is not dressed up in his begadim. So I would think he has the din of a zor, and such a zor would be able to bring it. Kamash Mulan, he can't bring it either. Okay, so different pshatim in the Rishayim. Again, none of them are terrific, but either way, it's a question of how to learn the Havamin. What I wanted to get to today was, what's the status of a Mila Belayla? What's the status of Mila Belayla? So we have Xeris HaKasuv. It says in the Torah, you can't do Mila Belayla. Why? Because it says the word B'yoyim, it says in the Pasuk, Mibench Moinas Yomim, from 8 days. Somehow we learn you can't do a Mila Belayla. That's question number one. What happens if you do it at night? Question number two is, and this is perhaps the bigger question, where on earth do you see from that Pasuk, you can't do a Mila Belayla? The Gemara learns, from Mibench Moinas Yomim, you can't do a Mila Belayla. How? So, Frakta Tesis Rosh number five, Temeli, Tehechim Matin.
Anytime you do a din of day, that it's got to be like the next morning.
Oh, that's the question. So we're going to talk about this three possibilities of Mila Belayla. You could do a Mila Belayla on the seventh night, or let's call it the third night after the baby's born. Then you could do a Mila on the seventh night, going into the eighth day. Let's say the eighth day was supposed to be Monday, so the bris was supposed to be Monday morning, and the male decided he's going on vacation, he wants to do the bris Sunday night. That's one Shiloh. And then what happens if you do the bris day 10 at night? Are they all the same? Night is night? Or maybe it depends on where you're holding in the nighttime.
What's the consequence, though?
That's a shayla we'll see. Machlokes Rishayim and Achrayim, if you have to redo it, we'll do a tavas dambris. That's what we call a tavas dambris. You'll have to prick the area and cause bleeding. Or no, but the evidence is okay. Now again, from this pasuk, I don't know what to conclude from this pasuk. I don't see, it's not like the Torah says, loy taseh b'yoyim. It's very hidden in the pasuk where it says you can't do it. So what does the pasuk mean? The pasuk means lachatchila b'di'evit, unclear.
And so they're rejecting the limit that you learned it from b'yom hashmini.
That's what it sounds like. We'll see in a second. Taisvis, the Rishayim and Megillah have a kasha that it's against the Gemara Megillah. We'll see it hopefully in a second. Says
means has to be day and night.
Oh, that's what we get to. Okay, good. So the Taisvis Rosh has a kasha. Temeli, ask the Taisvis Rosh. The heichem imatin on miches yomim de'ei mila b'layla. How do you derive from the word ches yomim that you can't do a mila b'layla? Where do you see it? So Bishlam Mizayin Yom Mikla Midrash Vesmacht Befnei Hashem Lakeichem Mizayin Yom Mivolei Mizayin Alelus. If you remember, we spoke about this a while ago. It says Vesmacht Befnei Hashem Lakeichem Shivas Yomim, and the Gemara actually had a miut Yomim Vloy Lelus, right? That the whole Simchas Beis Hashem was supposed to happen during the day and not at night, which is not the way it really took place in history. But okay, they talked about that. We talked about then as well. Avu Ben Ches Yomim Lo Shaych Lemutei De Ein Zman Mila Belayla. He says, how do you do that? V'shem adarish v'dechsev u'ben ches yomim yimol, didarish b'yoyim yimol. I don't know what he answered exactly over here. Says the Teshuvah, maybe somehow you learn it. It says u'ben ches yomim yimol. So you're supposed to darish in b'yoyim yimol. You're supposed to read like this, u'ben ches yomim yimol. When should you do the mila? U'ben ches yom yimol. During the day, you should do the mila. It's like a question where you put the comma in the pasuk.
Is that how the pasuk states me ben shmonas yomim yimol?
Yeah, that's the way the pasuk reads. That's the way the Tosef Rosh seems to read the pasuk.
Since it continues that lesson, so it starts with the following morning.
So that you're going to have to say something because it doesn't say. It's not like the Torah ubiyoyim hashmini. When the Torah says ubiyoyim, so we know here it says mi ben shmonas yomim from 8 days yimol he should have a bris.
Does the Torah say laila for any of the halachas though?
It usually doesn't.
You don't have the concept of Lila.
You, for most things, not.
The Rabbanis know that. We learned that those are the Rabbanis, but it says...
Right, the only...
The word Lila exists in the Torah. In the
right, we only have the Karban Mincha was brought by Lila. Right? Most of the Karbanis are not. Right. Very rarely does the Torah talk about Lila. That was, I think we spoke about this. If we have a miut for everything, b'yayim v'loy b'layla, there's no concept of mitzvahs b'layla.
Come out. Let's say Korban Pesach. Every night, Pesach is at night also. We do it.
Karban
Pesach.
The Karban Pesach is not brought at night. The Karban Pesach is eaten at night.
What's the lashon of the pasuk?
Ben. Miben shmeinas yomim yimol b'sar.
So
he reads like this. Miben.
That's
how old he is. That's how old he is. Miben.
I understand what it means.
When he's 8 days old.
So when is he 8 days old?
Well, that's the question.
Oh, good, good. That's what we're going to get to right now.
Sunday.
Oh. Ace Lace. You go count the Ace Lace. So says that's what Chaim can have.
Is there a difference between, let's say, Sukkot and Pesach, where we start at night, or any other Yom Tov at night, versus this, where we start at day, because it depends on what's going on.
Right. We don't know. We don't know what the term meant when it says a B'yayim. So.
Why don't you say it? Because the yamim, you have to get into the next day.
Oh, very good. So everyone's mechave. Everyone thought like, it's funny, when I learned this Gemara, I totally didn't think like this. Everyone's mechave to the same train of thought, which I found from the Torah Tamima, the Aruch HaShulchan son, and I found it from Reb Chaim Kanevsky in the Sefer Time of the Kura. Happens to be a great Sefer to learn a Chumash. You're not going to have like a lot of verdach to say at your table, but you'll have definitely a lot of cool things about the parasha that Reb Chaim Kanevsky comes up with. So if you look over number 6 in the Sefer on Chumash, Time of the Kura, he asks our kasha. He says, the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Beis that we learn from the pasuk, "Biben Shmeinas Yamim Yimol Lachem Kol Zachar." That's the pasuk, "Biben Shmeinas Yamim Yimol Lachem Kol Zachar." Says Reb Chaim Kanevsky, the Gemara says in Shabbos we learn from here b'yayim v'b'layla v'kosha. Eich mashim b'yayim v'loy b'layla. Where do you see that? Harib Gemara ches yomim laylahu. At the end of the 8 days, it's night. For anything, where do you see a miyut of layla? The Yeshloima, the koshile, the ben shmenas yomim mashim yomim melayim. Sounds like it has to be full 8 days. V'imkei molim achar ches. Then you're going to have to be mol after the end of the 8. V'adineinu kein. Talksiv u'b'yayim hashmini yimol.
I don't know. Not
only
that,
we say
it's
reason
my
team. That's right. One would have thought you should go to that. That's machlokes. You say mitzvah kikula at night. How does it go again? By avelus. That's a shot if you say mitzvah kikula the night before. That's machlokes rishonim. I think that's the only other place. By zayin nikiyim, they talk about saying mitzvah, but that's during the day. But by saying Balailo, I think that's the only place. So this is Reb Chaim Kanevsky's answer. I, if I'm not mistaken, the Tertimim and Chumash also says along these lines. But it's very difficult to learn from that. No, he's saying that the Torah is telling me.
But if a baby was born like 10 o'clock at night, and you're going to say 8 full days.
Right, you still don't. Right. Right. So,
how do you,
right,
how
and therefore you don't. Right, so therefore he says it must mean what the Torah means is not to do the meal a full day. You don't have to be in the eight slaves. You don't have to have a full 8 days.
So, we do say Mitzvah for the eighth day.
We do. But it means, but the chiddush of the pasuk is that somehow from this pasuk I'm supposed to figure out that you're not supposed to do the meal at night. Because if I would take the pasuk literally, would come out that you'd have to do the milah on the ninth day, a full 8 days, the night of the ninth day, which is too hard to believe. That's cheshbon. Okay. The problem is if you look in the Mishnah Megillah number 7. The Mishnah Megillah is famous because it goes through all the things that have to be done during the day, all the mitzvahs that are totally beyond. So the Mishnah says ain kareinus a Megillah. You can't read the Megillah at night, meaning the day Megillah has to be read during the day. V'loy molin. You can't do Mila at night. V'loy tovim, v'loy zovim. Goes through all the things you can't do during the night, and they all have to be done during the day. Then the Gemara says, how do you know? Tichsiv, v'loy molin, tichsiv, u'b'yayim hashmini yimo. That's not true. That's what most people think. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says by us in Shabbos, mi ben shmanas yamim nafka. So how could the Gemara Megillah write in Dav Chof? That the reason why you can't do a Mila Balayla is because it says u'b'yayim hashmini. That's connected our Gemara in Shabbos. Our Gemara in Shabbos says, it's learned mi ben shmanas yamim nafka. So we're showing them all asks this kasha. Tosfos on the page asks it, and the Tosfos Rosh asks it. But let's listen to what the Tosfos Rosh answers in number 8. Says the Tosfos Rosh, Tema, Omali ubiyayim hashmini lahaydrasha. Why do I need biyayim hashmini for this? Tepik lemi ben shmanis yamim dashin yamim v'loy lailas. Why do I have to have two psukim to teach me the same thing? B'yishloimar. So Tosfos answers, I didn't put it on the paper, Tosfos answers, no. The real drasha is our Gemara. But Biyayim Hashmini is at least more mefurish in the pasuk. mean, our drasha is a little bit of a stretch. We just spent the last 10 minutes trying to catch into the pasuk. So it says Tosfos, we'd rather go with the more mefurish drasha, even though it's not the real drasha, than with the drasha that's the real drasha but harder to explain to people. That's what Tosfos says. One is open in the pasuk, one is not open in the pasuk. So if we put down that one as the pasuk, and everyone would crack their heads figuring out what do you see in the pasuk? We have Yemesh Shmini. That's easy. No one debates that. That's what Tosfos says. Says the Tosfos Rashi, different pshat. Says the Tosfos Rashi, v'yishloim ad nokat. Haposha Joyser, that's a pshat. The knock up pshat Joyser. We gave the simple pshat. We don't want to complicate it. Tosfos says it like this. Oy Yeshlem. Tohacha Mayri b'mila shaloi bizmanoi. Says the Tosfos Rashi, you need two psukim for two different types of mila. Mila bizmanoi and a mila shaloi bizmanoi. Maybe the only time you can't do a mila is a mila bizmanoi. You can't do balayla. What about a mila shaloi bizmanoi? So we spoke about this many times. Is a mila shaloi bizmanoi a different mila or is just the same mila just delayed? Is it a whole different experience or it's the same thing with the same trimmings, just different rules because it's not on the day itself. So here the Tosfos Rashi is open to the idea that it might be a whole different sug mila, and maybe that mila needs a specific zeres hakasuf. So I can't do a mila bismanai balayla, and I can't do a mila shalei bismanai. Now what's a mila bismanai? What's a mila shalei bismanai? Would the night of day 8, meaning preceding day 8, that be bismanai or shalei bismanai? Not sure. Shagasari also wasn't sure about it. We'll see in a second. He has a whole discussion about that.
That might be too early.
Or maybe not. Maybe the night going. Oh, that's the question. Is the night preceding 8 chusr zman, or is it just laila? Meaning, the night following 8, that's not chusr zman. You're actually late. That's already. So that would be a mila shalei bizmanai, presumably. So then what would be a case of mila bizmanai? I don't know. I guess you'll argue the night following 8, that's the mila bizmanai, and the night following 9 would be shalei bizmanai, or the night following 3 or 4. What would the cases be practically? What's the two cases of Mila Bizman and Mila Shalei Bizman? It's not
Unless
clear.
You want to say Mila on the 8th day after Shkir.
That would be which one? Zman or Shalei Bizman?
That would be
Bizman. That would be Bizman. Yeah. And Shalei Bizman would be the night following 9 or right. The night following 3. Yeah. Okay, I think we'll have to see. So he goes like this. He quotes the Gemara Yevamos. V'halchi isya b'Yevamos perak arul da'ava b'yem hashmini d'tanya enli ela nima l'tes l'ches l'ches l'tes minayin tam aloim u'b'yem hashmini hu pashit hasam minayis afil man d'loi darish v'av darish. The Gemara is a drush. You can't do any type of mila shalei bizmanai. Not at night, not the night of 8, not the night of 9. None of those nights is an optional time to do. Laila's out, all types.
As soon as he becomes eligible,
that's right. Right, you still can't do it belayla. Right, although you got to do it right away, you can't do it belayla.
So maybe since you have a ben shmor asyamim, the pasuk could have actually said min hashmini imo, because now I know it has to be yom. In other words, as opposed to the 8th month or 8th year or 8th
right.
decade. And the fact that the pasuk says ubayom hashmini, that's already telling me as between the 24-hour, 25-hour cycle we have, the day that begins the night before, it's mishmini.
Starting from
doesn't say that, which would have indicated it could have been the night before.
So you're saying from the word mi ben shmain as yom, and we can
the next word by yom now it does explain. Now that I have two psukim, the other one.
Well, we were. But Tosfos didn't do an honest job. We don't yet know that B'yom HaShmini is open for debate yet. We don't know what we're going to do with B'yom HaShmini.
But I'm saying I have two psukim that tell me they supposedly the same thing, and it has the word by yom. I don't need by yom in both of them.
Right.
By yom wants to tell me that it has to be a din in whatever days as opposed to years. That was a discussion earlier. Right. That's taken out.
Right.
I have one of the psukim. The pasuk could have been a phrase as umi hashmini imo b'sal also.
And it's
he says umi yom hashmini. You could have said umi shmini imo. The extra by yom tells me bedaf yom and not the night.
Right, but the question is that we have a different drasha teaching me yom v'lo laila. We have our gemara mi ben shmainis yomim.
But we didn't know that yomim meant, in other words, the day as opposed to the night is Friday night Shabbos also. So
you're taking one pasuk as megal on the other.
Exactly.
That's what you want to suggest. The reason why we need to psukim is just to clear us up.
Words,
that would answer our kasha. That would be, we had a kasha. How do you learn from Ben Shemaynus Yomim that it means anything? So you're saying because you take the other pasuk.
Yeah.
The problem is the Gemara assumes the other pasuk is learned from B'yayim Afilu B'Shabbos. The Gemara uses that to teach me that you can
learn two things.
That's always the answer.
And what's the reason for the 8th day? That's just a hell. That was
so we spoke. So we spoke about that. There's 3 pshatim given. The Gemara Nida says because we want the parents to become tar. The parents are the mother's tummy till the 7th day, and then she becomes tar. So we want her to be tar for the bris, so she's got to be on the 8th day. The Rambam Amar Nevuchim says because if you wait any longer, you're going to be too attached to your baby. You're not going to want to give him a bris mila. The other pshat they say is because that's when it's the healthiest for the baby.
Anyway, so all three of them have sort of external.
That's the real answer. It says in the Torah.
Is what?
It says Miyam Hashmini.
It says so.
No, what's the reason? No, because the reason might.
Right. So we spoke about this.
Whether, so for example, can you do it on the seventh day?
Oh, so that was the first. I just went back to my notes to check this up to make sure we did cover this. The first two shurim that we had was this discussion, which we'll come back again. What happens if you do it earlier? So if it's all these reasons that we just gave you, it shouldn't, like, you know,
it's totally
right? It's not a real din. It's totally
other people.
Right. So the question is, how far do we take? And we quoted, and we'll talk about it again today. The famous sheet of the Rambam, based on the Shach's understanding of the Rambam, then Ein Hachanami. If you give a baby a bris before they eat, the baby's taka yaitzeh the mila b'di'evit. It's not ma'akif. Believe it or not, it's not ma'akif.
What?
Lechatchila, probably not, because you're not supposed to. But b'di'evit, the baby doesn't have another bris. What happens if you did it at night? That's what I want to get to today. We spoke about this a little bit back then. Okay, today's the 38th shiur. That was the first shiur. So I'm assuming everyone still remembers, right? So it's only 37 shurim ago. 37 shurim ago.
Not as much as we're going to get to it today.
Yeah. We'll be mamshech. So that's the question. Is the bris done earlier than day 8 the same as the bris done at night? That's what I want to get to today. But in order to see that, we have to first see a Me'iri and Megillah. The Me'iri Megillah makes the following statement. When we read our Gemara, or even the Gemara Megillah, and you ask yourself, what would happen if I did a Mila Belaila? What would happen? Is it gemalt? Is it the baby not an oral anymore? Did I yoytze mitzvah b'di'evit? What is this all about? It's not clear. Especially on our drasha. You know, from our drasha, which we're still trying to figure out how to get it from our drasha, somehow Lila is not a good time. Okay, but I didn't listen. Would the bris be yoytze? So the Me'iri writes the following comment. Says the Me'iri, v'kulan she'asu mishiyala amur ha'shachar. The Mishnah goes on to say that all these things that must be done during the day, if they were done after alois, which is before hanetz, if they were done before alois, so people say that what? Nates and Alois are 72 minutes between each other. That's not accurately correct based on what we did in the Sugyas of Zmanim, so we won't say that. But as we know, the first thing is called Alois, and the later time is called Hanates. Right, it's not called Nates. It's not called, and there's another pet peeve. It's not called Nates. It's called Hanates. People call it Nates. It's really an incorrect statement. It's not called the Nates Minion. It's not called what time is Nates. It's called what time is Hanates. It doesn't mean the word, the, it's not the Nates, because then it should be Hashkia. That's not the hay. The hay is part of the word. It comes from a word in Navi that means to bud. Hanetz. So the word is to bud. B-U-D. The sun starts to come up. So people say this wrong. The real way of pronouncing it is Hanetz. So the way it works is you first have Hanetz Achama. And then later on, first we have Alois HaShachar. Then later on we have Hanetz Acham. So in the Chazal, anything that needs day is supposed to be done after Hanetz Acham, which in the winter is very, very late. Right, sometimes in the winter it's like 7:10, 7:12, so you can't do a bris until after then. But the Eved says in Mishnah you could do it already after Alois HaShachar. That's what it says in the Mishnah in Megillah. So if you look at most of the calendars, they write that the time between the two is 72 minutes. That's what everyone thinks. The time between the two things are 72 minutes. So we spoke. Mishi Yakir is between the two.
Oh, it's between Alois and
Yeah, between the two. But Zmanim we spoke a lot about already. The only time it really comes out to be in Big Nafkamina is before a fast day. Because if you keep the 72-minute shiur, the fast day starts at Alois HaShachar. So if you keep the 72-minute shiur, so then it comes out that the fast starts much later. If you keep the other way of calculating at 16.1 degrees below the horizon, then it comes out the fast starts much earlier. So that's the only time it comes out to be a shtekel chumra. You got to remember when you're going to calculate your zman. Okay, the zman we spoke enough about already in other shurim. So says the Me'iri. So if you read the Megillah after Alois HaShachar, you're yoytze. Why? Because Rashi learns in Brachas and in Megillah that really daytime starts at Alois HaShachar. But because people didn't have clocks and they didn't have my zmanim, and it was easily to confuse Alois and not being day, so you think it's Alois HaShachar, it's really nighttime. And you do a mitzvah, and it's takadana belayla, it's not yetzah. So we want to stay clear. We want to push it so far. By the time you get to Hanetz, no one's going to confuse it with daytime, with nighttime. Right? 7:12 in the winter, no one's going to confuse it with nighttime. That's what Rashi says in Bracha. So every once in a while, someone brings up the argument, oh, today that we have clocks and we have this and that, let's go back to the old way of thinking. Let's do everything after Alois HaShachar lechatchila. Okay? I don't think it's widely accepted, but it's definitely an argument. Says the Me'iri, avo koydim lechem. But if you were to do any of these things before Alois HaShachar, Afilu b'di'evet lo yotzu. You're not yotzu b'di'evet. Let's say Megillah. Let's say you get up early on Purim to read the Megillah, and you get up before Alois HaShachar, you read the Megillah, you're not yotzu. You got to read the Megillah again. Says the Me'iri, el mekomok and demila, harei hu kimo. Zog the Me'iri, but when it comes to Mila, he got a bris Mila. V'yotzu mechlal oral. And he is no longer an oral. Eloshoi kiblu hamo'alim mitzvahs Mila. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Zogti Me'iri, there's no Kima Mitzvah, but his status has changed. He's not an Oral. He's considered Nimol, but you weren't mekayim the mitzvah.
The father wasn't mekayim.
The father wasn't. The moel, whoever did it, no kima mitzvah. But the mitzias is.
But the kid is.
But the kid is considered gemalt. So what does it sound like to you from the Meiri? B'dieved, it's yaitze.
And if a doctor does it in the hospital, the child is.
At what point? At night.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying, if it's not done in the context of a bris.
So if it's done by someone who's not in the parasha, if a guy were to do the meal wouldn't be yaitze b'dieved. But right, you have to at least be someone that's in the parasha to do it.
So what do you do then? You have to
have tovas dam bris. You have to prick. That's the bikasha about how Tzipora was able to do it. That's the discussion.
Right.
You have a whole everything in there. All groups are covered. So that's a shayla. So this meiri sounds like he's saying that there's no mitzvah that was mekayim. So we always assume. So here's the alumnus shayla. Is the shame oral connected to the mitzvah? Is what takes off the shame oral the kima mitzvah? That's what we'd have assumed, right? When does something change? When you do what you were supposed to do. So I did the mitzvah, and the check happens, and through that, the status changes. Here's me splitting the two. He's saying there's no check, there's no mitzvah, but the status changes.
Well, what about null and mole?
Ah, okay, that's what we have to eventually talk about. We danced around this a lot already.
What's that?
No, a baby's born with a meal already. Nothing you can do. So there's two different groups. There's a baby that's born already with a meal, and then there's a baby that the meal was done incorrectly. Let's say it was done too early. Let's say it was done by the wrong person. Let's say it was done at night. Then there's something that's null and mole. The baby was born with a bris. What are you supposed to do?
There's no mitzvah.
The question is, right. So do you say there's no mitzvah? Well, let's say over here. If the guy jumped the gun and did the bris milah wrong, there's also no mitzvah. You know, you can't bring back what was done.
The mitzvah is on the father, and the requirement for milah is on the baby.
It sounds like it's a god.
So we spoke about this possibility. We were medayed this from the Rishonim. And it's a mixed obligation. It's the father with the baby. The baby has an obligation to be gemalt. He can't do anything about it because he's 8 days old. So he has to have his father represent him, like an apotropos type of svara.
So the ownership curse, is that for not doing the mitzvah of meal, or is that for being...
Shame oral. I don't know. So till now, I always thought they go together. Here, this Meiri is an eye-opener. He's suggesting that you can split the two. So according to the Meiri, would you have to do anything to this baby? No. Baby's good to go. Ah, he had a Mila Belayla. Okay. The whole din of Mila Belayla is just with regard to the Kima Mitzvah. It's not with regard to the Shem Oro. Right? That means there's no check in Shemayim.
Well, he wouldn't have to do anything to the baby from the baby's perspective, but the father, if he drew the blood, with that...
I'm not sure.
Restore the mitzvah?
I don't know. It's not clear from the Meiri. Would there be a way to fix the mitzvah? Now, if you look at the Meiri Masechah Shabbos...
Questions once that Avraham Avinu was the kind called Torah Kula.
So why didn't
he
go do bris?
So they said, because if he would have been gemalt and then had gotten the mitzvah, he couldn't have really been kind of mitzvah. So from there, you would see that he was had a din in a nimol had he done it.
Yeah.
So that sort of supports this that I am considered gemalt. Yeah, there may not have been a mitzvah. I'm not exactly sure how that works before my
Torah. Absolutely, but we're suggesting a major chiddush over here. We're suggesting that being an ois oral and a mitzvah don't go together. We always assume that Torah is a why do you take off the shame oral? Because you were mekayim the mitzvah. Isn't that the way it goes? That's what I always thought.
I would have thought that. Of course, you physically, mitzvah is not in our...
So the mitzvah is a separate thing?
I don't know.
It's just the actual way of doing it.
If it happens, a knife fell from the sky, and he's oral. If there was an accident, right?
Yeah, and Chaim.
So that's it.
But I would assume from the lack of Kima Mitzvah, it means that this is not the way Hashem wanted it to be done. So if this is not the way Hashem wanted it to be done, why should this take off the Shem Oral?
It says,
Okay, good. That's what we need to talk about. That's the Shagasayah's argument. Okay, so let's see a little bit more about this. So we have this one Meiri Megillah. Let's keep this in mind. The Meiri Megillah has this notion that a Mila Belayla, there's no Kima Mitzvah, but you can't deny the Mitzvah. Says the Meiri that he's no longer an Oral. He can eat Karim Pesach. He doesn't have a status of an Oral. Now the Meiri Masechah Shabbos. Says the Meiri Masechah Shabbos, the Afa Pishei Machshir Mila Deichah Shabbos, Mila Ba'at Medeichah Shabbos. We know you're allowed to violate the Shabbos to do a Mila, K'moshe Nema, B'yoyim Afilu B'Shabbos K'moshe B'yarn. U'mikom Okim, Tafke Mila B'Zmane, Ava Shaloi B'Zmane Loi. Loi Mata Godol Shaloi Ma'ol Asav, Loi Bezdin Shiach Shaloi Ma'ol, Et Asav Tekim Shigad Lein Deichah Shabbos. Okay, you're not allowed to violate the Shabbos for a Mila Shaloi B'Zmane, that we spoke already about. Afa Pishei Zeh Zmane Lechi V'Asav Shikol Mila Shaloi B'Shmini Eine Deichah Shabbos Mila, Be'im Zmane Shaloi B'Zmane Eine Elo B'yoyim. He's a nimol. He's a regular nimol baby. And you don't need anything. Even though you mevatel toiras mitzvosai. You didn't do what the Torah wanted. In the Meiri by us in Megillah, he says you didn't get the schar mitzvah. You were mekayim the mitzvah. Here he says you were mevatel it. No credit.
What if there's a baby that's ready on the 8th, but he does it on the 10th day? Does he get a mitzvah?
So we spoke about that. That's Shaila. If you have a baby that's supposed to be gemalt on the eighth day, and you delay it, so whether or not that's considered a bittul mitzvah to say every minute.
Doing it at night? You didn't do it when the Torah said to do it.
Right, so that's the question. Did you lose out on the mile of B'yom HaShmini? And you
do
lost
we,
them.
Do we make a bracha on
yeah.
today? Or?
Right. We do. So we assume, again, we talked about this. Right, so we spoke, let's say the father just stopped delayed. No, so let's say the father stopped delayed. He was just lazy about it. The father, it worked into his schedule to make the bris on Sunday. So that might be a bittul mitzvah to say every moment that he delays it.
We have this in karbonos. The carbon is chal, but the obligation is not.
What do you mean the carbon?
The carbon goes through, but he doesn't fulfill his obligation.
Yeah, but over there, I would have assumed there. Yeah, okay, because over there, I understand that the carbon itself has its own status.
The idea, the cups would be okay, but the mitzvah is not something you do something in a mafresh chala. Somehow, you didn't get the mitzvah, but the
mitzvah is like that. Right. This is what I'm having trouble with. You know, usually the mitzvah is connected to the outcome or something along those lines. Or the chalois ha-Torah creates the mitzvah is the same thing that creates the het or something like that.
If it doesn't have a bris, is the baby an RL until even when it's not bar mitzvah?
So that, we spoke about that.
When do you become an RL?
That's a machloikis. Who's to blame for the baby's arelus? Is it the father or is it the baby?
No, I'm not saying who gets the Avera or whatever, but his status.
Yeah, right after Yemesh. Yeah. You can't shmir him with Truma, the Gemara talks about. If you want to shmir the baby with Truma, he's an oral. He's not allowed to Truma. He can't. All right, I'm saying, I don't know how much meat giving to the father can't. Okay. Sure. Right, the question is if you. That's what the Gemara talks about. So according to this Meiri, it's okay. If this baby had his Mila Belaila, he's not an oral.
Do we possibly?
We'll see in a second. So let's see what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Mechaber in Yeridei Helchas Mila. We spoke about this Mechaber before. We'll review a little bit.
If it's a Mila, you make the bracha.
Mila Chatchila going into it.
Yeah.
I would assume not. I mean, let's say you're going into it. It's a night of the. It's night. Nights. It's a night. 11th night, and this is the first time you did a bris mila, and it's nighttime. It's, you know. All right. I would assume you can't make a bracha. The brachas were on mitzvahs. This is not a mitzvah.
But is it the baby's mitzvah? So it's just
but no one's getting mitzvah. But no one's getting the mitzvah. Not dad. Not the baby. Not the moel. There's no mitzvah alike. Belaila. So the question is, if it's no mitzvah.
One thing. Maybe you could split the brachas lachni, so you could say, but the other one you can't.
That's a good point. We spoke about once. That the two brachas are reflective of the two things.
Two
there's the matzav of being nimol and one's in the ma'isa mila.
So make on lachniso, but don't right. Make it.
Maybe. If you're willing to accept that lomas that we spoke about, that the two brachas reflected the two parts of the mila. Maybe.
From guy,
yeah, it's got such a guy.
Right.
He should learn Shulchan Aruch. He's not supposed to do Mila
Malan. No, he's not. He's busy learning Lomas.
That's the problem. I'm not sure. I would have assumed if there's no mitzvah. But the mitzvah, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about these two dinim and Mila of being Gemalt and the Maisa Mila. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ei molin ad shetenei tzachama. B'yayim hashmini lelei dosi. U'mishallah amara shachar yotze. B'diyev, you can do the bris after alei tzachar. You never hear of anyone ever doing it. I've never heard.
What?
Anyone ever doing a bris after Alei Tzachacha before Hanetz? You ever been invited to a bris that was only b'diavad? Maybe special cases. I don't know.
No, maybe they do it
to be honest, I never really think about it when I get the
invitation. You just know it's early enough to hear.
Make the train or not.
That's right. You never hear these cases. Okay. Again, my assumption is the one mitzvah you're going to do with your child, you want to do it l'chatchila. You don't want it just to be a b'diavad, but l'maisi, there would be no question. The whole day. We do meal in the morning to get people out of bed.
I mean, the only time it can come up is if you can't get
involved. Yeah,
everybody's
that's
booked.
True.
I mean, the first call everybody makes when they have a kid.
100%.
Boy or girl. Is just get that
ball. You want to reserve him.
Literally the first call.
100%.
You sell the right share.
It's 100%. It's 100% true. So again, I guess if you have a case in the winter, you'd have a case in the winter, it could be in a gay, I think a case, whatever the situation. Again, I'm sure throughout history when Klal Yisrael was in various difficult situations and we were not under freedom like we are today, I'm sure these shilas did come up. When you're running from different oppressors and you had to get the bris done fast, today, Baruch Hashem, that's not the case. Says the Shulchan Aruch, even a Mila Shleb Ezmanei can only be done during the day. That's what we just saw a second ago. We saw that in the Rishayim, it's Gemara Yevamos. Hago, Zogter Moshe Eslis, Avamol, Ova Rumol Belaila. If you did a Mila at night, Tzarech Lachzor Lahatif Menu Dambris.
We don't have
Dambris. This is not like the Meiri. The Rama says explicitly the Mila is not valid. You gotta go take the baby. You gotta make a hole, do some form.
Is he saying that?
Atavas Dambris is a way of fixing up a Mila. You only do Atavas Dambris if the first Mila was no good.
But is it really a Mila or is it just like
Rabban and Seth? No, Atavas Dambris is the way to fix up a Mila done incorrectly. Yeah, it's, we'll have to get. It's really at the end of the parak. We'll get there soon, Mr. Shem.
But
oh, that's a question. There's so many different things that can be done incorrectly. It could be done by the wrong person. It could be done by the wrong day. It could, a lot of things can go wrong. So what's the Ramah's case of wrong? Wrong was Laila, the most extreme, because that's exactly how custom. The pasuk says it's got to be bench minus yamim nafka.
Rabbi, I was in the first once. It was done by a very reputable guy. And I happen to have been just sitting there. I don't even know him so well. He said, do me a favor, could you stay a little bit afterwards? I said, sure. I didn't know what he was want. And he waited till everybody went away, and he did a hatafa stambris.
Really?
Yeah. Corrected it. I said, remind me not to use you.
Yeah, I was going to say. I thought maybe he was going back for the tzitzit shein ma'akvin. He could have been who went back. He told you that he was doing hatafas, or he said, wow.
I said, okay.
Why do you need people around?
He just wanted me to be there to hold the baby.
Oh, just to hold the
baby. No, he wasn't really serious, by the way.
So did he tell the parents?
I don't know.
Taco, you were.
You get all this.
That's Taco, too. You get saying, you're the real Sandy, yeah.
Didn't count. Did he make wow.
No, he made it the first time. I assume he had that in mind.
Unless, I wonder if he was going back for what's called the Tzitzin HaMakvin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if he was going back for something like that. Wow. Father should definitely get a reduction on the price. Wow. Ooh, that's scary. Yeah. I don't know. So listen to the end of the Ramah. Malu toich shmoinis yamim ubiyoim yotza. It's up to Ramah, but if you did the bris on day 5, but it was during the day, you're yotza. So what's the obvious question in all of our minds? What's the difference? If you can't do the bris, because he says toich shmoina within the 8 days, it was within during the day. So according to the Ramah, it comes out something very strange. If I do a mila belaila, well, we don't know which laila he's talking about.
Yeah, is it the night?
Is it night? Is it the day night preceding 8? But it doesn't, that's good. What about the night preceding 5? Would that also be good, Belaila? Or what about the night preceding 12?
Right.
It's not clear from the Ramah. But you do see from the Ramah, the Ramah draws an unbelievable...
Day 12.
What?
I have a day 12 according to the Ramah.
Day...
He did it on the day 12. He could have done it on the 8.
He just didn't. Doesn't, right. He talks about a case of Toich Shmoina. So according to the Ramah, the most biggest chiddush is, you could do the bris on day 5, you're yoytze. And during the day, you're yoytze.
And no hatifa stop.
Nothing. You're good to go. The babies can move on his way. But if you do belaila, no good.
Is there a din for swimming?
That's the question. They learn from two different sukkim.
There is.
Where's this distinction? So let's see to the next page. If you look at the next page, the Vilna Gaon asked the Kasha, who told the Ramah this? Who told the Ramah that Mila Belaila is possible? How do you know? Doesn't say it anywhere. How did the Ramah know? Our Gemara learns from a pasuk. But as we pointed out, what do you see from the pasuk? Maybe the whole pasuk is only the chatchila. Says the Vilna Gaon, number 12, Mimasha kosav u'misha'ola yotza, mechlal dekoidim lechein lo yotza. Says the Vilna Gaon, a very simple diyuk. What does it say in the Shulchan Aruch? What does it say in the Mishnah? That the earliest possible time is Alois HaShachar. What does that imply? That before Alois HaShachar, no good.
Which is Laila.
Right, which is Laila. So he took from that the not only is the earliest possible time after Alois HaShachar, but before that is not a possibility, and it's not even Yotza.
What about the 8th day? You say the same,
Josh?
Anything before the 8th day?
The Vilna Gaon is coming to explain the first comment of the Ramah. The first comment of the Ramah is, Mila Belaila is possible. In fact, the Vilna Gaon, who told the Ramah? I said, the Vilna Gaon, I'll tell you. Because it says in the Shulchan Aruch, it says in the Mishnah, that Bidyev, the earliest time is Alois. So what's the Diyuk, says the Vilna Gaon? That before Alois HaShachar is unacceptable. So again, I would have argued unacceptable at what level? Unacceptable lechatchila or unacceptable b'di'evet? So the Vilna Gaon thinks that the unacceptability of the Mishnah is b'di'evet, it's not even yoytze at all. The truth is,
day is good. Why is it doing? Why are we doing on Shabbos?
That's the Shach's Kasha that we started off with. That 37 Shulim, the first year we learned together, that's the Shach's Kasha. Frek the Shach, 1 second. If Mila Shalei Bezmanai is Yotze B'dievet, so why are we Deche Shabbos? Why should we violate the Shabbos? Okay, believe me, the next week we'll talk more about Belaila and hopefully get back into the Sugya of the